who what? Love his appearing. They are excited about the fact that the king is coming back. And I saw some people yesterday that were shouting. I saw some people yesterday that were fired up. I saw some people yesterday that could not contain themselves. They were so excited about the fact that King James was coming back. Wow. Can we learn something from that? Can we learn something from that?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The King is Coming. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The King is Coming.
In the rapture, Christ comes with grace. He takes his church out of the judgment that's about to come. In the second coming, he comes in judgment. He comes to judge all the wicked and ungodly on the earth. In the rapture, the dead become alive. Remember it said that the dead in Christ shall be raised. The dead come alive, and then in Revelation 19, when he judges, the alive become dead. So there is a difference between the rapture and the second coming. However, the point that I want to make, so anybody, whether you're premillennial, postmillennial, or amillennial, everybody agrees to the fact that, there you go, somebody say it again, say, that he's coming back, right? Everybody agrees with that. So I thought that I would take the opportunity to present what we believe this morning. But the fact is that whatever you believe, everybody believes, or as we would say on Tioga Street, everybody believes that he is coming back again. So just like LeBron came back and it changed the mind and the thinking of the people, I think that the fact that Jesus is coming back ought to do something to us. Let me share with you a couple things, and then I'm done this morning. What should this do? And I'm taking this, again, you may condemn me, you may criticize me today, because I'm taking this right from what I saw yesterday in reference to LeBron and relating that to the Christian and where we should be. First of all, what I saw was anticipation. They interviewed fans, and the fans were excited. They anticipated the fact that the king was coming back, that King James is coming back. And they were excited about that. Man, people were dancing, and I mean, you should have seen the anticipation that they had. They were looking forward. Oh, somebody hear me now. Somebody hear me now. Somebody hear me now. They were looking forward to the return of the king. They were looking forward. Are you looking forward to the return of the king? Remember again, Titus said in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look what it says there. Looking for. What does it mean to look for? It means to anticipate. Now, you know, every day as believers, we ought to get up. And we ought to say, today could be the day. Now, he might not come back for another 100 years. He might not come back for another 500 years. But we don't know. All we know is that he is coming back, that his coming is imminent, that if I was to take these glasses and set them here on this pulpit and just leave them for a while, that sooner or later, they would fall off of there. So what does that mean? I might not be able to predict when they're going to fall off. I might not know when they're going to fall off. But what do I know? That they are going to fall off. And they could fall off at any moment. And so every day that I get up, I ought to have anticipation that the king could come back today. And that ought to affect the way that I live. You know, I remember I was listening to, I don't know if anybody heard Charles Stanley last week. I was listening to Charles Stanley. And he's been talking about the rapture. And he gave this, it was great. He talked about how that when he was growing up, that his mother said something to him that he would never forget. she would always tell him, now, Charles, make sure when you go out there that you're not doing anything wrong, because you don't want to be doing anything wrong when Jesus comes back. He said that I never forgot that. He said that stuck with me all my life. And maybe some of us need that challenge in our hearts, that anticipation that the Lord is coming back. And today could be the day. And how should we live knowing that the Lord is coming back? And I would say another thing about this anticipation, you know, one of the hardest things that I have to do as a pastor is to visit somebody who is terminally ill. And I had the opportunity to visit George Willoughby a couple days before he passed away. And, you know, I miss George. He would sit right there, and every time I come in, you know, when he was able to get up, he would tap me on the shoulder, right? Or when he couldn't get up, when he was using his cane or his walker, he would, Reverend, Reverend. And I'd turn around, and he would just wave at me. But when I went to visit George, he wasn't himself. And he was laying there, and, you know, he wasn't hardly talking. And you know, he had come to grips that, you know, pretty soon he was, you know, going to meet the Lord. And I began to talk to George, trying to encourage his heart. And one of the things that I said to him, I said, George, just think, man, in a few hours or a few days, man, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. I said, you're going to be looking at God. I said, man, that staggers my imagination. Now, I got a little bit more. You know, it's like the preacher, he preached the invitation. I mean, he gave the invitation. He said, who's not saved? The little boy raised his hand. And then he gave the invitation, you know, to those who weren't saved to come give their life to Christ so they could go to heaven. And the little boy, he said, now, who wants to go to heaven? And the little boy didn't raise his hand. And afterwards, the preacher went up to him, and he said, son, yeah, I noticed that you raised your hand saying that you didn't know Christ, but when I asked if you wanted to go to heaven, that you didn't raise your hand. He said, why did you do that? And the little boy said, well, he said, I'm not saved. He said, but the preacher said, well, you don't want to go to heaven? And the little boy said, well, I want to go, but I just thought you was getting up a load right now. So, I don't want to be in the load that he's getting up right now, right? You know, I want the Lord, some more work. I want to work for him, some more things he wants me to do. But I was telling George, I said, man, George, I said, it's going to be great. I said, man, just, and what I was trying to get him to do was for just a moment, you know, maybe not think about holding on to this life, but letting this life go. And realizing that, man, what I'm headed for is much greater. And I said, George, I know one thing that you loved, because you always would tell me about your mother. And I know you love your mother. Amen. And I said, George, just think, in a little while, you're going to be with your mother again. See, do we have that kind of anticipation? Do we anticipate the fact that the King is coming back? And do we anticipate the fact that we want to see the King? Where are you at today? Is that burning in your heart? Is that burning in your spirit? Or are you so rooted? Are you so grounded? Are you so tied into this world that you just have a hard time letting go? I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. She said, I learned to hold all things loosely so that when God wants to take it from me, he don't have to pry my hands open. And some of y'all just holding tight to the things of this world. And if God was trying to do something, man, he'd have to break your hand in order to get it loose. But when we anticipate him, when we are looking forward to his coming, that, you know, this world is, we realize that this world is not our home. That you know, you figure, you know, and I've been pastor here last Sunday. It was 24 years that I've been pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. And in the 24 years that I've been pastor here, amen, the 24 years that I've been pastor here, you know, the landscape has changed. And a lot of people are no longer here. You know, I mean, when there's a whole new set of faces. I'm going to say probably three-fourths of the congregation wasn't here when I got here. Well, where did all those other people go? They went home to be with the Lord. So what does that tell us? That our time here on earth is really not that long. And that, you know, we're going to spend more time off of this earth than we do spend on this earth. And so we need to realize that I'm not trying to root and ground in to this life. I'm not holding on. I mean, yeah, if God blesses me with things, I want to enjoy the things that he blesses me with. But I don't want to hold on to these things because I want to be free that when God calls me home, that I'm not trying to hold on. See, I think sometimes that's why, you know, people who know that they're in the last stages of life, they struggle with that. Because why? I mean, because they're going to miss loved ones. You know, that I'm not talking about that part of it. But I think some people are just holding on to this earth so much and the things of this earth that it's hard for them to fathom and look forward and anticipate the excitement about going to heaven. And so we should realize that the fans in Cleveland can teach us a lesson. And that lesson is anticipation. The second thing that they can teach us is excitement. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. They can teach us excitement. And Paul, giving us his swan song in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's on death row, about to be beheaded according to tradition. He says in verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also. Look at this. Who what? Love his appearing. They are excited about the fact that the king is coming back. And I saw some people yesterday that were shouting. I saw some people yesterday that were fired up. I saw some people yesterday that could not contain themselves. They were so excited about the fact that King James was coming back. Wow. Can we learn something from that? Can we learn something from that? Man, we should be that excited. Paul says that there's a crown waiting for them who loves his appearing, who's excited about the fact that the king is coming back. Are you excited today? You know, again, sometimes we get, instead of being excited, what's our song? Soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world. You know, that's our song, right? But, you know, we ought to be excited that, you know, one day, I know sometimes my wife and I, we just sit there and we look at the world and we see the way things are and we just say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, right? Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We look forward to the Lord's return. So there should be some excitement there. The third thing is reward. Reward. You know, one of the biggest things that was going to happen by LeBron coming back to Cleveland? Show me the money. Tickets from $200 to $600. Look at all the businesses that are going to profit from the king that's coming back. Look at all the trade that's going to happen because the king is coming back. Look at, again, I wish that I would have been the guy. We would have built that new church if I'd have been the guy to think of those t-shirts, right? Everybody in Cleveland got a t-shirt. I don't know how much they were selling them for. Forgiven, right? Forgiven with the G gone and a six. Man, people in Cleveland, and they said the happiest guy in Cleveland is the owner. Because he know he going to get paid some more money. So when we think about the fact that our king is coming back, all those people are going to get rewarded. What about us? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 12, it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory, amen, shall be revealed, when he comes back, that you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That when he comes back, that you've been partakers in his suffering, and now you're going to enjoy his glory. You're going to enjoy his reward. And that's something that you know, and even to think, just when we have the king in our heart, David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor see begging bread. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm going to tell you about a king who's coming, who can make us, not necessarily make our pocketbooks fat, but he can make sure that we have everything that we need. We have a king who rewards us. We have a king who, whenever the electricity in our house is getting ready to go out and cause a fire, and the firemen want to come in with the axe and tear our house up, we have a God who's able to take care of our needs. We have a God who's able to minister to us. We have a God who raises the economy of the citizens of his kingdom. When you are looking forward to the King of Kings, you know, I think about in Egypt when there was that famine, and you know, everything just dried up, and there was one man that God spoke to, and he had wisdom to put aside enough and save up enough so that people from all over the world at that time in that area came to Egypt because they knew that there was food in Egypt. See, when the rest of the world is struggling and suffering, that doesn't affect God's economy. God's economy is rock steady, and it keeps going. You know, when we stepped out to enter this stewardship campaign, it was the worst possible time to enter into it. The whole country was in a recession. Churches were losing money left and right. And we stepped out and said, we're going to have a stewardship campaign. And look at God. Look at God. We're almost getting ready to hit $1 million committed to this stewardship campaign. And hopefully in the next month or so, we'll have $1 million that have been committed to this stewardship campaign. And all we need is, at the last count, was $1.2 million to start building. So praise God. Praise God. So, yeah, amen. We have a king who rewards us. We have a king who rewards us. One of the things that I saw when I watched this video or this newscast is that when LeBron left, the people were so angry at him that they took his shirt and they set it on fire and they put it on the ground, and you watched the shirt burn to ashes. When they said he was coming back, there was ashes on the ground. But guess what was underneath the shirt? I mean, underneath the ashes, his shirt. And they lifted it up out of the ashes. What is that? That's resurrection. Jesus Christ was in the ashes, and he rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It said, this is the Glaze translation, and you have he raised up out of the ashes who was burned up. And you have he made alive who was dead in trespasses and sin. That Christ has taken our life out of the ashes and raised us up to be seated in heavenly places with him. And that's why the psalmist could so boldly proclaim that he lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock to stay. Only Jesus can do something like that. He has resurrected us. And you know, the greatest resurrection was not it is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but the future resurrection is what? The fact that when we leave this earth, that we are going to be resurrected into the presence of the Lord. And that should excite the people of God, that we are not going to be annihilated, as some groups would tell us, that we are not going to go to sleep in the ground, as some groups would tell us, that we are not going to suffer forever and ever, as the Bible tells us, but we are going to be resurrected, that we are raised up out of the ashes, and that we will be resurrected into the presence of the Lord. And then we see victory. We see victory. I'm not going to read that passage, but Revelation 19 talks about Jesus Christ coming back. What are the fans in Cleveland looking for more than anything else? To win it. To win in the championship. Isn't that what they want to do? Isn't that what they're excited about? Isn't that the bottom line? Is that they're going to win a championship now that LeBron is back. Well, our king is coming back. And he's coming back in victory. He's coming back riding on a white horse. He's coming back with the saints riding on horses behind him. And you know what? I was going to preach a sermon one time on Revelation 19. You know, it says that the church is the bride of Christ, right? And he's coming back again. And all the people that have given us a problem, you know, he's going to take care of, right? So I was going to preach this message from Revelation 19. My boyfriend's back, and there's going to be trouble. Hey, love, my boyfriend is back, right? He's back. He'll be back one day in victory, and that as he comes in victory, so that we have victory. And as a matter of fact, you know, he said in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, some people say, well, I'm just trying to get the victory. Well, you got the wrong attitude. Paul said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. You don't have to try to get the victory. You already got the victory. You just need to start walking in the victory. You know, Cleveland, now they got a problem. You know, they didn't have the victory, right? Until now they're looking, the king is back, right? So they're going to have victories. But you already got the victory. Why? Because our king never went anywhere, right? You know, he's coming back, but he's still with us. And then the final thing, amazing, right? Forgiveness. That is angry as those fans were, as upset, you know, the owner for the Cavaliers, he called LeBron some kind of name, you know, but I forget what he called him. Somebody, y'all know, what was it?
Coward.
A coward, there you go. He called him a coward. He called LeBron a coward. You think yesterday morning he was calling him a coward? All is what? Forgiven. All is forgiven. The power of forgiveness. That it just wiped away everything. All the hurt, all the anger, all the frustration, all the disappointment is just what? Wiped away. Why? Because the king is coming back. But what about us? Look at, as I close, Colossians. Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness, not with a six, but with a G, the forgiveness of sin. That God is able to wipe out all anger and bitterness and disappointment as we look at this idea of the king coming back. And a lot of people see LeBron as their king. But as we think about our king, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we thank God that we have a king that is able to do whatever we need him to do.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Day of Atonement. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The King is Coming, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The King is Coming. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The King is Coming. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.